Have you ever had the feeling that your prayer was not being answered? I sense that a lot of us have felt that at some point in our life, that God just didn't seem to answer that prayer for whatever reason. And yet that conflicts strongly with Jesus' words in today's gospel, "Ask and you will receive." "Well, Lord, I asked, where is it?" Isn't that kind of our impression? So in order to really understand Jesus' words, we have to kind of dive into the spirituality and theology of prayer, which is very strongly tied to our readings for today. And luckily, we have lots of examples. But to start out with, I want to use one of Jesus' own examples. It comes from a different gospel that you might remember. This is the parable of the woman who goes to the king for a verdict, a judgment. So the story goes that this woman, or the parable, goes that this woman comes up to a king asking for a judgment against her accuser, or the person causing the problem. The details are a little obscure. Anyways, the king says, "I don't want anything to do with you. Go away." He doesn't want to address her issue. And so she comes time and time again asking for a verdict. And the king, finally annoyed with her, renders a verdict for her. I guess the moral of the story that Jesus tells us is persistence in prayer is a good thing. Keep asking, eventually it will happen. Odd. I always find that odd, but hey, whatever. Now let's look at that parable as a few clues to help us understand the rest of the passages for today. First of all, the woman comes up to the king. Why does she come up to the king? The king is the only one who can render that judgment, and she knows that. She goes to the person who can actually fulfill her request. If she came up to him and said, "Could you build this road for me?" He'd be like, "No, go ask the builders. This isn't my responsibility." So she knows he's the one that can render the judgment. Therefore, she goes to him, knowing he can do it. Second of all, she also recognizes that she's not asking for something obscene, like, "Tell my accuser that I'm right." She doesn't do that. She asks for a render a judgment. She wants to finish the situation, not make herself right. If she tried to make herself right, the king may be like, "Well, you're not. Figure it out." She doesn't, though. She says, "Render a judgment for me." And she's persistent. She knows that if she just keeps asking, eventually it will happen. And that's the moral of that story. The same one that comes strongly in a lot of our readings for today. So the nice thing for us is Jesus gives us several examples, and so do our readings. He gives us two examples in our gospel, and then we have our first reading as another primary example. So Jesus starts out with his disciples asking for a way to pray. "Teach us to pray like John taught his disciples." So he gives them the Our Father, which is actually a different version from the one we're used to. This is the Matthew version. The Luke version is the one we use most commonly. But it has the same core elements. Know who God is. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be your name. Then it's the petition for bread, petition for forgiveness, to forgive one another, and then we don't have to deal with the final test. The basic core needs we all have. And notice how important that is for us, that what we're asking of God is what he's willing to give us. He wants to feed us. He wants us to be forgiven. He wants us to forgive one another. He doesn't want us to be subject to the test. We're asking for the same things God wants. It's not a real surprise that he would answer those things. And then Jesus, in his characteristic way of teaching, doesn't just tell us something. He tells us something and then explains it through parables or miracles or whatever it might be. And today we have parables. The parable is this man who realizes his visitors have come and need food. So he goes off to his friend with the final verdict being, by being persistent and constantly knocking at his door, he will get what he wants. Persistence comes back. But that's an important point for us too, because what it's teaching us is that in prayer, when we feel like our prayer is not being answered, the question is, how did we ask? Did we ask for something that makes sense? Did we ask for something that God is willing to give us? If we asked him, "Hey Lord, would you let me murder these 20 people?" Of course he's going to say no. He's against murder. Read the Ten Commandments. Or if we said something like, "Hey Lord, can I steal this car? Will you condone that?" No, of course not. He's not for stealing. You got to ask for something that he wants to actually give to some extent. But then the next piece is persistent. That guy was persistent till he got what he wants. Sometimes we feel like if we just pray once, it'll be okay. Sweet. I prayed, God will eventually answer it. No, he wants to know that we want it. We really do want it. So we have to be persistent. Keep asking. I have prayed for things for 3 to 5 years, if that gives you a sense of what I mean by persistence. And then we have a very neat ending to our gospel, which is worth reflecting on. The Father is willing to give good things. Even human fathers screw up every so often and don't give the right things, but God is not like that. He will even give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. That's how powerful and profound Jesus' words have become. God will give you even his own self for the sake of us. And that's the end of that gospel. Well, we have one more reading that's really worth diving into to get a sense of this message, and that's our first reading from the book of Genesis. Here we have the continuation of last week's reading, where the three people come to visit Abraham and they get blessed with a child, and now it continues, where God hears the outcry of Sodom and Gomorrah, that people are being harassed, oppressed, whatever is going on, and he doesn't want to believe it. Did you get that first part? That's really important. Because I feel like so many of us struggle with this. God just destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, like wiped them off the face of the earth? That doesn't sound like the merciful, loving God that I know. How do I make sense of this? Well, the very first part of it is the clue to understanding how God reacts. And it goes like this. He sent those three people who came to Abraham into the city of Gomorrah and Sodom so that he could see for sure that this is truly what's happening. He doesn't want to believe the city is that evil. But he's wrong. Oops. So he sends them in there with the one desperate hope that there would be innocent people, that it wouldn't be so bad, that he didn't have to destroy it. Doesn't go so well. Abraham, hearing all this, recognizes a couple things that we need to pay attention to. He knows God is merciful. He knows God is loving. And yet, this doesn't seem to fit with his worldview either, much like how we experience this passage. Keep in mind, Abraham has experienced God in a much more profound way than we have. He walked side by side with God. He had these incredible encounters of miracles where God would pass through these half-cut-up animals as a phrasing torch. He had experiences where God showed him the stars, the sky, in the daytime. He talked one-on-one with God. He knows who God is. And for him to question this means something. But notice how he questions. So there's two different camps we can fall into when we try and address a situation like this. On one end is like this fear and trembling. God is so much greater than me. How dare I even ask him for anything? How dare I even challenge his will? That's the fear trembling side. The other side is, God's my friend. I can do whatever I want. I can challenge him. I can talk with him. Everything's fine. Abraham is neither. He's right smack dab in the middle, where he realizes God is greater than I am. He also realizes that God's judgment is greater than me. He knows things I don't. But he comes with that mentality, but still challenges. Would you really destroy this city if there are 40 people? What about 10? What if we could find 10 innocent people? Would that be good enough? Yes, that would be good enough. Why? Because God would never destroy the innocent. Even if there was one person, which is kind of the underlying feel of the reading, if there was just one innocent person, he wouldn't destroy the world, which is strongly tied to Jesus, the one innocent person who saved the world. That's why I can say that. So Abraham challenges him and is persistent on that. Well, I know your mercy. I know who you are. I'm going to try and save this city if I can, because I know that's also your will. So in the combination of all of these readings and these thoughts, we come back to ourselves. Jesus says, ask and you will receive, seek and you will find, and knock and the door will be opened to you. And that's not always our experience. And it's very important why. First of all, we have to come to know who God is. Who is the God who is answering our prayers? Does he even want to answer some of these? If they're ridiculous, like the murdering of people or stealing of cars I mentioned earlier, of course not. Why do you even ask for that? It's like going up to our parents saying, hey, can I have your whole inheritance right now? But what am I going to live on? Why are you asking for these things? Same concept. We have to come to know who God is and to have a real experience and impression of God so we know how and what to ask for. And then, once we have a good reason, like healing, or I need your help, or I'm trying to follow you and I don't know who you are, teach me, then we have to be persistent. Persistence is a good virtue. It builds up that virtue of courage and fortitude. I'm going to keep praying and praying because I know, with hope, that God will answer it. If we really believe the God who we believe in, we know that hope is a strong virtue. Hope is that realization that eventually it will work out. But the important part of persistence in prayer is I might not be ready for the answer yet. I might not be ready for what God is going to do. And by being persistent, I'm constantly opening myself to what God might have in store for me and allow that to really cultivate in my life. I spent 6 years discerning the call to the priesthood and another 5 trying to accept it. If that gives you a sense of how often I prayed for that. We do have to be persistent in prayer. This is critical. Know who God is, be persistent. For our goal is to not make God in our image, but to conform ourselves to God's will.